Serving as the artistic director of a theater in today's complicated and isolated world is no easy task. Since mid-March, it's been a constant act of redirection and evolution. Blake Robison from the Cincinnati Playhouse is here this evening to lay out some of what he's been up to and what the future holds for our city's Tony Award-winning regional theater. Are you dizzy yet, Blake?
Oh, I'm dizzy every morning and even dizzier at the end of the day, but we're making it work.
All right, let's jump back to the middle of March. You had just opened Destiny of Desire when Governor DeWine ordered the shutdown of venues that accommodated more than 100 people. So what steps did you take at that point?
Well, you're right. We had to stop the run of Destiny midway through. We scrambled to get permission to do a high-end taping of that performance so that it could be shared with subscribers and other people who had already bought tickets. We were able to get that done. We did a fantastic three-camera shoot. Our subscribers enjoyed the show, and we had a number of other people who were able to access it online for, you know, a modest ticket price. Beyond that, we had to cancel the remaining three productions of our season. But as you know, we took the last two, Murder on the Orient Express and Becoming Dr. Ruth, and we've moved those to the front end of the coming season. So we're not going to lose those shows entirely. We're just asking people to wait until the fall, when we hope we will be back to normal operations.
So one more quick step that you had to take there, because you had announced a season about 2 weeks before all this happened that had some shows I'm sure people were excited about. But
absolutely. But, and, you know, there are other theaters I know who hadn't announced yet, and they're feeling really smart right now.
Yeah.
None of this could have been anticipated, of course.
I actually think perhaps what you've done, because you haven't said that they'll never see those shows that you announced, you just said, you know, be patient. So you've got a little more intact for people to be excited about.
Well, that's right. We were planning to open next season with The Wizard of Oz, and I was very much looking forward to that, revisiting that for the first time in about 30 years at the Playhouse and imagining what a new Oz might look like in the 21st century. We'll get to that eventually. We'll just kind of put that on the side burner, and I think people will only get more excited knowing that it's to come in some future season.
Well, that's good. I'm sure lots of folks will be pleased to hear all of that. But I'm sure it required some fancy footwork on your part because, you know, you had already geared up. And frankly, the productions that you canceled for this spring were already in the pipeline, were they not?
That's right. So it's sort of a theatrical decision and a financial decision all wrapped into one, as is often the case. The Agatha Christie play had already been performing at our sister theater up in Indianapolis. So it's done. It's rehearsed. The sets and costumes are built. The actors were ready to go. We've already made a tremendous investment in that, as have our patrons, who included it as part of their subscription or bought a large number of single tickets. So we didn't want to disappoint any of those folks, and rolling it over made the best sense, both for audiences and for the bottom line.
I wanted to step back quickly on one point. What kind of response? I mean, you said you got a positive response with Destiny of Desire online, and I'm seeing lots of theaters putting stuff up online, either past productions or trying to recover something like you did. Can you quantify the amount of response that you got to it?
We had over 500 subscribers log in and watch the production that they were planning to, you know, see in the Marx Theater. So I thought those numbers were pretty good. And I'm not sure, but I know it's close to 100 people just from the general public chose to log in online and watch it for the $35 price, which might seem a little steep, but we were required to keep it within our normal price codes.
Sure.
By the rights holders. I think this is the wave of the future, and lots of people are trying to put more content online. In the theater industry, there are so many people with a finger in the pie who have to sign off on it. This is kind of kicking us in the butt a little bit and making everybody in the industry wake up and realize that, you know, we need to make improvements here so that folks who might not be comfortable coming back to the theater right away can still enjoy the art that we make.
Well, you make a good point there, you know, and that is that it's a guessing game as to how audiences are going to respond, even if we begin to relax some of the isolation orders and that sort of thing. How willing will people be to come back into a theater full of folks who they really don't know very deeply?
These are the big questions that all arts groups are asking themselves, especially the performing arts, where you know, the standard for generations has been that you come in and you sit literally elbow to elbow with somebody for a couple hours at a time. It's different from walking through the zoo or going through the museum where you can create as much space as you wish. So we've got our thinking caps on. There's a lot of healthy conversations happening. We are going to work with audiences and we are going to work with artists and staff to make sure that everybody is safe. That's job number one. And we will figure out a way that's safe and comfortable for people to find their way back to the performing arts.
I mean, even you think about lobbies and intermissions, you know, people congregate in those kinds of things. So
that's right.
And this is not a local issue. I was just reading an article about the Broadway theaters, which are not anticipating that they can be up and running effectively much before September.
Well, no, those are huge theaters and where people are even more cramped than in regional companies. And even on the artistic level, you know, how many times have you seen a play where characters kiss or hug each other or dance? I mean, these are real issues that we're going to have to grapple with moving forward to make sure that the performers themselves have the right safeguards in place to tell the story the way it's meant to be told.
Yeah, that could be a challenge with 6 feet of distance between everybody.
It makes staging the plays very interesting.
A whole new concept. Well, then, to further complicate matters, you've got some construction going on at the Playhouse.
We do. We have already started the site work for our new main stage theater complex. That money was already raised, and we're moving forward as planned. That means that we're moving utilities, changing the traffic pattern, creating the staging area for the future theater, and that's happening now all the way through the end of the summer. As long as we are successful on our fundraising and things, believe it or not, are still moving forward at a pretty good pace, even with, you know, in this surprise recessionary era that we're in. So with a little bit of luck on our side.
No real disruption then of the construction process.
We hope so. That's the plan, is that the foundation will be poured for the new building in the fall while we find our way back to the Marks and the Shelter House during that construction process.
So, Blake, just thinking a slightly broader picture now about the shows that you've had to move and people's reaction to all of this. I mean, have you experienced any surprises, pleasant or otherwise, during this rather strange moment in time?
It's a surprise only to a small degree that people have been extraordinarily accommodating. I've had to call a number of artists and tell them that, you know, we're not going to get around to that show, so you're not getting a contract after all, or we might not be able to do it till next season. Audiences, subscribers have been extraordinarily accommodating. I think you know that a lot of arts groups have been encouraging people to donate their tickets or keep the money at the theater rather than asking for a refund. To date, we've only had 16% of our ticket holders ask for a refund. The vast, vast majority are rolling it over to next season as a gift certificate or as a credit towards their subscription. That's fantastic. That speaks volumes to the loyalty of Cincinnati audiences to institutions like ours.
That's excellent news. I'm really glad to hear that. As we wrap up here, I wonder if you would like to just do a quick rundown of the shows maybe to expect in the fall with your revised schedule, just to remind people what will be coming.
Thank you for that opportunity. As we announced, I guess a month or so ago, The Wizard of Oz will be replaced by Agatha Christie's Murder on the Orient Express. Staying in the Marks Theater, that will be followed by The West End, a brand new play by Keith Joseph Atkins, which is set in Cincinnati's West End at the outbreak of World War II. And then, of course, we get to Christmas Carol and on with the spring season as announced. In The Shelter House, Becoming Dr. Ruth, which was meant to close the season this year, will now open the Shelter House season, and that will bump Cheryl Strayed's Tiny Beautiful Things to a spring slot, taking the place of one of our world premieres, which we'll keep working on and get to you the season after that.
So some changes, but in fact, some of the, I don't want to say the works are similar, but at least the slot, for instance, your opening production will be a family-friendly production, as has been your practice for quite a few seasons now.
That's right. So many people are looking forward to Murder on the Orient Express. We didn't want to disappoint folks. It's sort of like taking the deck and reshuffling the cards, but you know, all the cards are still there, just in a slightly different order.
Well, as they say, the play must go on, and you're clearly finding ways to make that happen. My guest this evening has been Blake Robison, Artistic Director of the Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park. Thanks for filling us in on the current state of affairs there. For more information about the Playhouse, you can check out the link that you'll find at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. Blake, best wishes to you and your team and all of their families as we deal with this very strange moment in American history. I know that we're all eager to get back and see some theater.
Thank you. Be safe, Rick. We'll be waiting for everybody on the other end.
For Around Cincinnati, I'm Rick Pender.